The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
For your calls yesterday here on the show, we spoke to Emma on a COVID-related issue. She contacted the show about access to hospital because her mother is in hospital at the moment, has been for 11 days. This is what Emma told us.
She can't advocate for herself, which is my main worry. You know, she's so ill. She just, I said to her today, I spoke to her for seconds because she just doesn't have the energy. I said, is there anything you need? And that's exactly what she said. I need some energy. So, like, she's not asking any questions. She doesn't know what medication she's on. I'm worried about her mental health and just giving up the fight. Like, we've, you know, because I don't know. I have to assume the care is being given. But we're not there to do, you know, to kind of help her along. So I just I just find it so frustrating. We've since tried to make a complaint to raise it with the hospital. We've also tried to get in touch with the social worker department because presumably there's a social worker, or rather we've been told by a friend that there's a social worker assigned to every ward in every hospital, and that they can often be a good person to advocate for the family and for the patient. But we've had one proactive phone call and it was to say things are very bad. So I just can't understand. I understand in the early days of COVID that, you know, they didn't know what they were dealing with. What I don't understand is how is there still no communication plan? How is there still no patient, advocacy? Like, you know, I just, it baffles.
That was Emma speaking to us on the show yesterday. Her mother has been in hospital for 11 days. She said one call from the hospital in those 11 days to say her mother had taken a bad turn and things are going downhill. It has been impossible for her to contact the hospital in all of that time. Well, Ben Sturr from Tralee, or Ben Slim from Tralee, should I say, is on the line. Ben, I understand you've similar experience, something with your grandmother. Is that right?
Hi, Kieran, and yeah, thanks very much for having me on. I did this weekend, unfortunately. We had to have my grandmother transferred to hospital via ambulance. She was in severe pain from a fall a couple of weeks ago, and we just wanted to make sure basically that we couldn't move her out of the chair, so she needed to be x-rayed and make sure she hadn't broken anything, even though we were quite sure it was muscle damage. And to be honest with you, the ambulance service were quick and fantastic and helpful. And it just seemed to go downhill the minute we got to the hospital, the minute that the ambulance got to the hospital. And I would be at pains to say, I think the nursing and doctors, the staff there are superb, but I think they're actually being let down by a management who are using the COVID pandemic and visiting restrictions to actually prevent the public from seeing the problems that there are within the system. Because various members of my family have health concerns, and obviously I'm used to being a health advocate. I'm used to going in. My mother has multiple sclerosis, my grandmother is elderly, my grandfather's elderly, and I'm the person that normally would go accompany them to hospital appointments. And people in that position often need someone to advocate on their behalf, to say, you know, can you explain that again? Can I have a glass of water for my grandmother? You know, when is this going to happen? Because sometimes in the situation my grandmother was in so much pain, she wouldn't take that in. So when she got into the hospital, it took, first of all, I think a crisis in this country that needs to be addressed is how long it takes for ambulance staff to be released and the patient to be handed over.
Yeah.
But that's a long
a long other story that we might get into someday. Back to your grandmother. What happened then when she got to hospital and eventually got in? Did you get in with her?
No. So I brought her bag. I packed a bag for her and followed the ambulance. And I got to the reception of the A&E. And I'll be honest with you now, it was extremely rude the way I was treated. I was told there's no visiting. And I said, well, I'm not visiting someone. I'm here to advocate for my unwell grandmother who, you know, would need the support of someone there to be able to explain what's happening to her. Nope, just not possible. Can't happen. I'll take the bag. You can ring her. Does she have a mobile phone? You can ring her and just tell her that I'm bringing the bag to her. And I said, well, I'm not really satisfied with that. I'd prefer, I mean, like, her reading glasses are in the bag. I want to make sure she can put those on so she can see her phone. I said, and it was basically like, no, I'm bringing the bag. You're not coming in. That was the be all and end all.
No question about you know, whether you're vaccinated, you can come in with a mask as long as you only stay for a few minutes. None of that. Just absolutely not. You're not coming in. I don't care what your grandmother needs. I'll bring
no
it
No access. It felt like your grandmother is now in custody, actually. She's arrested. You cannot access your grandmother no matter what it is. It is unfeeling, uncaring. And I could understand absolutely that the visitor restrictions. But now, I mean, I can go with my husband to a restaurant and sit down with my vaccine passport and have a meal indoors. But I can't actually sit with someone who's very vulnerable in a lot of pain. and can't actually advocate or speak for themselves.
Yeah, and that's the issue. I suppose yourself and myself maybe going to hospital, we might put up with it. But we heard yesterday from Emma, and her mother was 82 years old, and the doctor had a conversation with her about whether she wanted to be resuscitated. I mean, on her own, without anybody there to offer her support. The question basically being, if you started dying, do you want us to save your life? Like, that's the issue, and it sounds like kind of a similar issue with your grandmother, that, you know, and I don't want to kind of deny her agency, but she probably needs an advocate there with her.
She does. And we've also got to remember that, like, these people come from a generation where you didn't question doctors, you didn't ask nurses. You know, there is a respect there for the healthcare service, and a deserved respect. But at the same time, we know now that sometimes you do have to question the actions of medical professionals and say, why are you doing this? And spell it out clearly for me so I can understand it. My grandmother, it got to the point where my grandmother, she had her x-ray. She was told there was no break, but they wanted to keep her in for observation on a trolley in the corridor. And I said to her, if your hip is not broken, you're better off at home. And she basically said, I said, can I speak? Can you get the doctor to call me? We had no contact. I'm down as her next of kin. No contact from the hospital. All dealing was through her. She was ringing me to ask me what was going on. Every couple of hours, every hour or so, I was getting a phone call from her saying, have you heard anything? Are they saying anything? What's going on? So I was trying to get through to the doctors at the same time to say, look, if she's just on a trolley in a corridor for the night for observations, can I please take her home? And if there's any problem throughout the night, we'll bring her straight back in. But this idea that she'd be lying on a trolley, and thank the Lord, there was a team lead came on at the evening shift just after about 8:30, who had common sense and rang and said, I've spoken to the doctor. There's no need for her to be here on a trolley in the corridor. She'd be much more comfortable at home. Come and collect her. And well, I've never seen something as efficient. I was in, she was in our car within 5 minutes and we had her home.
Well, I'm glad to hear that at least. How is she now?
She's okay now. She's in a lot of pain, I'll be honest with you. She, you know, and she's a little bit confused too. Like, for example, I said to her, at one point I rang her on the phone and I said, have they offered you water? Because, you know, just, are you drinking water? Are you hydrated? I said, have they offered you water? And she said, what's offered you water? And I said, OK, you sound a bit confused. I said, have they given you a glass of water? Oh, I have my own bottle of water. And I said, no, I said, that's fine. But I said, have you been offered any food, any water? Is someone looking after you? And it's just the confusion. And then it's frustrating for families because normally we could be there to see what's happening or compensate for the healthcare system that is under strain. But actually, our healthcare system relies on families actually compensating and advocating and making sure basic needs. Visiting hours in the hospital used to be you'd come in and actually do the basic care and give some of the nurses time to go and do something, because that's what it ended up being. But this system is just not allowing for that, not being allowed in to advocate or make sure the appropriate care is being given. You know, it's a real question in our healthcare system that it now seems to be behind a locked door.
Ben, listen, I wish your grandmother well, and I hope she gets a speedy recovery from the bad sprain and bruising that she did to her leg. Ben Slim from Tralee. Deirdre Ferris is from Tralee as well. She's a Sinn Féin councillor. But more importantly, Deirdre, you're a healthcare worker, so you understand some of these issues at play. I mean, are you experiencing this? You know, those stories that Ben told us, the story we heard from Emma yesterday, are they happening a lot?
Hey, Kieran. Yeah. Well, we would be getting a lot of complaints into our office here in Tralee from family members who are advocates for their elderly or infirmed or quite unwell family members or support people. They're support people for someone. They can't get any details. They can't get discussions on the phone with doctors. They can't even get nurses on the phone. I couldn't disagree with a single thing that Ben has said, because he's completely right. I mean, first and foremost, from working on the wards for as long as I did, I worked on the wards for 14 years, there is a high dependency on family members and support people to come in and facilitate basic activities of daily living, like hydrating the patient, getting them up and about, taking them for a little walk if they have some bit of mobility. But I think from a healthcare perspective and from working within the healthcare sector, Ben highlighted the fact, you know, that his grandmother was vulnerable and she needed support. You have to remember she's only one in possibly in a ward of about 30 other patients. You're dealing with people who are severely immunocompromised in an awful lot of cases, and every single person coming through the doors as a visitor because of this pandemic, this unprecedented type of virus, it's hidden behind asymptomatic people an awful lot of the time. And you have to remember that every single person is at risk from just that one visitor coming in. And I 100% appreciate the difficulties that all these families are having. But from my perspective and from my training, whether it was when I trained to be a healthcare assistant, the first and primary job that is carried out, regardless of what you're doing, is a risk assessment. And you have to take that into consideration at all times.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, to a healthy, generally a healthy person who is vaccinated, if you are symptomatic, they're well managed at home. These people are elderly, they're the most vulnerable, and we have to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
The biggest problem we have, like Ben said, is staffing levels. At the moment, with people going back to school, yes, the numbers have stayed low, but when kids are sent home from school because they're considered close contacts and they have to do their two tests over the 10-day period, a family member has to remain home with them. A lot of the time, that is a staff member from a hospital going home and having to remain there because they have nobody to
I know, I understand those staffing problems are problematic, dear John. I don't want to pretend or paint some picture like the pandemic is over, but I mean, you can't really stand over a situation, can you, where an 82-year-old woman is in hospital for 11 days with no contact with her family, the family incapable of contacting the hospital, and the only conversation that's had with her by a doctor is, do you want us to keep you alive when you start dying?
Oh, no, and I mean,
you need to have an advocate. I'm not saying you let people roam the corridors willy-nilly and you don't check vaccine passes and there's no masks or anything like that, but there's got to be some sort of halfway house.
There does, and I was speaking with your producer, Ronan, earlier on, and I explained how what I would see as an ideal situation would be a separate visiting room where the patient is brought out and the family member can go in and have a meeting with the doctor and with the patient together. However, that's all dependent on whether you have the staff available.
Yeah.
I can tell you from dealing with people outside of here, getting complaints from people, massively understaffed, finding it very difficult, that the staffing levels are very, very poor at the moment. We have all received our direction from management here in the hospital. If you present it throughout your working day with something as simple as a headache, you have to leave the hospital.
Yeah.
You have to contact occupational health and get tested immediately.
Yeah.
Everything we do is contingent on the staff numbers that we have.
It is. Eventually, we're just going to have to start ignoring those headaches, though. I mean, COVID is going to be around, and 93% of all adults are vaccinated. People can't start going home with headaches. You know what I mean? Eventually, we're just going to have to grasp that nettle and allow people to stay and work with a headache. I know we're not there yet. We're all still slightly terrified, but it's the emotional scarring of being warned about 120,000 people dying like we were at the start of all of this. Listen, Stephen McMahon is a spokesperson for the Irish Patients Association, and he's on the line as well. Stephen, is this an issue, access for patients' families so they can advocate on a patient's behalf? Is it something that you've raised with the HSE?
Indeed it is. I mean, Ben and Emma are to be congratulated for sharing their personal family experiences. This is a reality for many people whose relatives are in hospital and they can't get access to them, to act, as everybody is saying here, as an advocate. We have come across very recently where a hospital consultant was almost breaking down, telling us concerns about the very issues that have been touched there, about patients not being rehydrated, about issues about overseeing of their feeding, about indeed of where there's soiled linen and it hasn't been replaced as it should be within the time. And, you know, some of this is down to the staffing issues, but at the end of the day, this is all about patient care and the importance that family members and friends of patients have as an advocate for their family member. We have raised this issue with the HSE. I sit on the Emergency Department Task Force, and I raised it last week as a major issue to be addressed. You have some hospitals, like, for example, in Kerry and Cork and Cavan, where they have extremely tight visiting. It's only if somebody is dying or some other critical situation that they will allow visitors. Yet, if you look at the website for St. Vincent's Hospital, with, as you quite rightly pointed out there, with certain procedures being followed, you book your appointment to go visit your relative and away you go. And, you know, so we have to ask the question, how is it that in some hospitals they're able to arrange this for family members, and in others they're working within a COVID environment, which again, as you quite rightly pointed out, is now part of the normal health system.
Yeah, which
and
are really,
we really
yeah,
have,
yeah,
you know,
Yeah, and valid questions and questions, I know, as you said, that you've been raising with the HSC. Stephen, we appreciate your time. Stephen McMahon, spokesperson for the Irish Patients Association. Now, we've got a great prize to give away here in the Hard Shoulder this week, a 4-week training programme with the Duco Gym. They're going to give you a bespoke nutritional plan alongside personal training for 4 weeks. They offer a different kind of plan with no running, no cardio, just weights. And the sessions, they're only 20 minutes long. They're based in Dublin, Naas, Ennis, Wicklow and Galway. You can check out ducogym.com. What's more, we'll pick not one but two winners each and every day. So to win, you just have to answer this question. What does BMI stand for? BMI. Text the word gym, your answer and your name to us now on 53106 at a cost of...